All right. Matthew chapter 11. We've been asking these questions. We're still asking them. And the question we're asking today, or that I'm asking on your behalf to the Father, is why are there times where I'm just so tired? Anybody ever felt that way? Anybody come in tired today? Not the kind of tired that you feel when you've had an incredibly hard day's work and you've accomplished much and you lay your head down and you're just like, whoo, that feels good. And you're just ready for rest. No, I'm talking about that kind of tired where you lay your head down on the pillow and you are so tired and yet you still can't rest. You know that you're just, because it's a different kind of tired that I'm talking about. It's not the one that you just physically exhausted yourself. This one's that mental, spiritual, emotional strain that's been on you that just makes you weary. Right? So when I say, why do I feel so tired? I might also interpret it this way. Why do I feel so weary? That might speak to somebody in the room today. What do you think? Yeah? Why do I feel so burdened, so overburdened sometimes by the weight of the world that I'm carrying? And so I want to read the scripture to you today. It's from Matthew chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 25. I'm going to read about five chapters. Woo, that'd be a lot, wouldn't it? I'm just going to read today. Beginning in verse 25 and read about five verses for you. And then I want to give you the context in which Jesus speaks these words over the people, because not only are the words important, the atmosphere in which He preaches this is just amazing. So here's what He says. At this time, Jesus said, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and You have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in Your sight. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Now, here's where we want to kind of focus in on today. Hear Jesus saying this to you. Even this morning, the words of God are not some old relic. They are alive, and they are for all who have ears to hear. And so listen to what He says to you today. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. Ooh, that alone ought to begin to bring some comfort. I can just listen to those words and somehow I begin to feel a little bit better about what's going on. I want to give you the context in which Jesus is preaching this message. Now, I don't know the timetable for which all these things happened. But if you were to go back, you would look and you would see that Jesus would be preaching messages, and the religious leaders would come and they would sit while He preached to the people. And the reason that they would sit and listen was not so they could learn, but so they could try to catch Him in a trap. Whew. Anybody ever tried to get up and speak in front of people? It's supposed to be one of the greatest fears, right? Like the number one greatest fear. Imagine trying to get up and make a business presentation come Monday morning and you realize that nobody, or not that, that there are people in the room and they just don't like you. And they just soon catch you in a trap as anything. Oh, so by the way, just feel comfortable in your presentation. That's the atmosphere that many times he's preaching under. That these men are trying to trap Him in his words. And then John the Baptist, who is a relative and someone that he loved dearly, gets put into prison. And John sends out his disciples to Jesus and he says, go, just ask Him if He's who I say He is. Can you imagine when Jesus heard that, the disciples come and say, John's got some questions. He wants to know if you really are the Messiah, the one that He's been telling everybody that was coming. Talk about the ultimate betrayal, right? The one that you thought would stand by you, the one that you thought would love you, is now having some doubts about your personality. As having some doubts about the call that's on your life. He goes on and he goes into a city, a couple of cities, to preach a revival. Now, I realize that many of you may not relate to this situation, but he goes in to preach a revival and nothing happens. I preached a few messages and nothing happened. That I could see anyway. Woo! It'll take you till about Thursday to get over that. but you probably relate to going into a situation where you had high expectations of what would happen. And you were utterly disappointed by the outcome of those events. You can relate to that, right? And so he's constantly being bombarded. People want his time. They want his food. They want his miracles. They want all these things. And they're pulling on him at all these different ways. And somehow he's able to preach what I think is one of the most compassionate messages that I've ever heard. How is that? That a person under such strain and under such daily pressure, you would think that if there was anybody that was weary, it'd be Jesus. If there was anybody who was burdened, it would be him. And yet he looks out at a crowd of people and he says, you know what, I'm okay, but I'm concerned about you because I can look into your eyes and tell that you're weary. And I can look into your eyes and I can tell that you have burdens. And so I want to tell you that I've got good news for you. Now, we don't live in Jerusalem during that time, and we're not a farming society so much. And so this thing of a yoke, we might need to explain it for just a moment, okay? So a yoke back in those days would be a heavy wooden bar. Most of the time there would be two yokes. There would be two spots for two oxen to be hooked up. And so it would have this wooden beam across the top that would go across the top of the animals, and then they would bend a wooden hook, and that would go up over the oxen, and it would be locked into place, and there'd be two oxen, and then from that they would attach the load. Are you with me? Ooh, I'm glad I'm not an ox. That doesn't sound comfortable at all, you know, carrying this wooden beam. And so you've got this picture of what's going on in their society. They go, okay, I can get that. But the Jews use that as a symbol. And so if you were a Jew, they would tell you there were two yokes that you had to submit yourself to. And so when you hear that, you say, oh, okay, this might be heavy. This might be burdensome. The first yoke is this. They said you had to submit yourself to the yoke of the kingdom. Now stay with me, okay? I'm going to get you through this to the other side. They said you had to submit yourself to the yoke of the kingdom. That meant that you had to believe that God was. All right, so you've got to get into the kingdom. You've got to submit yourself to God. Then the other one is you've got to submit yourselves to the commandments of God. I think that's where the trouble started. Because I don't know about you, but anytime there's a law, it's particularly difficult to get someone to obey the law when they don't want to. Wouldn't you agree? And so let me just tell you about back with the Lord. He says, remember the Sabbath day was supposed to be a day of rest. And so what do people do? They say, well, what exactly is rest? What exactly is work? And so then out of one thing became many things. It was like, well can we cook? Well, can we build a fire? In fact, to some extent, folks are still doing that. I read something this week where they had to decide whether or not you could drive a car, because a car created combustion, and that act of creation was considered work. I'm like, oh my goodness. Come on, people. Does that feel like a yoke? Yeah, see, that's the problem with the law. It's never good enough, because the person who doesn't want to obey always needs a little more clarification. I used to work in construction, and so they would come out with these OSHA manuals. I don't think there's anybody that works for OSHA in the room, but if so, God loves you too. Okay, I just want to clarify that, all right? God loves you too, okay? We get these manuals, though, and it was like, you don't have to worry about holding on to that manual very long, because before long, there'll be another one. Why? Because there'll be some more rules. And the manual keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know how big it is today. I'm glad that we have technology where they can just send it to you digitally, you know? What about our lawmakers? What are they constantly doing? Making new laws, right? Trying to get people to submit to this this yoke. And the problem is, it's very difficult to get people to submit to something that they don't want to do. And so there was these yokes of the commandments, and different teachers would go around and they would explain. They said, well, you're going to live by these certain standards. You're going to follow my life and my teaching, and you're going to live by my standards, and here's the way we're going to live it out. And those were called yokes. And they were hard for the people to live under. The expectations of the law, the expectations that they said came from God, it was so heavy. That's the context that Jesus is speaking of. People that are just worn out. They've been trying to please God, and it seems like every day it's getting harder. They've been trying to meet expectations, and every day it seems like it's just getting heavier and harder. And then they're attacked by the Romans, and it's taken over. And so now they're politically under oppression. So everywhere they look, they feel like they're under a heavy yoke. And that's when Jesus comes, and He begins to speak this message into their life. So let's make it personal for a moment. Is there anybody in the room that you are weighted down by expectation? There's two kinds, really, isn't it? There's it's the outside expectation, the outer expectation of what the world thinks. And so we have all of this weight pressed on us of what we think other people expect out of us. You know, what other people expect when it comes to being a good mom or a good dad, a good husband or wife. The outer expectations of what being a good employee in your environment looks like. The outer expectations of what success looks like. What does it mean to be successful, to be doing well in society? Those are all those outer ones. Now, sometimes I get confused because I can't figure out the outer ones from the inner ones. How about you? Because I have my own set of expectations that I put on me. And quite frankly, some of those are higher than what I feel other people putting on me. Some of you may live and you've got extremely high expectations of your life and what has to happen. I told you I used to be in construction, and I still dabble in doing a little bit of stuff here and there. It never failed. We remodeled our house and we did most of the work ourselves. And honey, I don't know if you do this or not, but I'll still go in sometimes and the sun will be shining on a particular wall and I can see that spot that I didn't mud right. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You know, I can look at where we were painting and I'll go, oh man, the paint from the wall got up on the molding. Oh, to some of you, that's so annoying, isn't it? Yeah. And it's like I walk through my situation and all I see is all the things that I've done wrong, you know? And I see all the things, I never finished that project. Oh, that's a whole nother message. And so there's outer expectation and there's inner expectations and there's a thousand things going on and there's difficult situations. And so we come oftentimes as those who have yokes, many, and they're heavy on us. And then Jesus speaks these words into them. So listen to what He says. Look at verse 28. He says, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. What is Christ's yoke? It was this yoke called grace that we don't have time for, but if you want to know about it, just hang around here for a little bit because it's the theme of our life story here. Is that we have to be people who learn to live by grace. But here's what He was saying. He was saying, all those things that those people are telling you to do, all those expectations that are on your life, He said, I'm going to make it simple for you. Remember what He said? He says, you got to take this like a child. You got to receive it just like a child would receive it. And if you look at the ministry of Jesus, here is what He is telling people. The Father loves you. All that stuff that's kind of difficult to read about the Father has revealed it to the Son, and the Son revealed it to the Father, and all that stuff. You know what He's saying? He's saying, I have come so that you might understand God as Father. That you might understand Him as Father. And that He loves you. And then He said, I'm going to keep it simple for you. You know all those rules that everybody's put on you? Jesus, oh, I'm so glad He did this. He said, I can summarize it in two. Love God and love others. Oh, That's so helpful. Because now he brings this thing down to a family situation that I can understand. I don't know about yours, but in our house, we don't have a whole lot of rules written on the walls. Now I realize that there are times where you might write chores and, you know, and some stuff like that. I'm okay with that. But we don't have a whole lot of written rules around the house. And I honestly hope that you don't either. Because do you understand how a house is supposed to be operated? It's operated off the rule of a relationship. Are you with me? Tracking with me? The rule of relationship, which says, I'm going to use my wife here, okay? We're in this rule of relationship, which says there's some dirty laundry. Maybe we should create a rule as to who should do that. Yeah, maybe we should do that. Maybe Brantley, you'll have her list of things that she does, and I have this list of things that I do, and we'll stick to the list. Or maybe Brantley and I just get together and say, you know what, the laundry's got to be done. Which one of us is going to do it? Now, what Brantley and I did do is Brantley said, I don't mind doing laundry. She said, but I don't like ironing clothes. Now, we don't have a rule anywhere that says Brantley will not iron Kevin's clothes. All right? But we just know, based on this rule of relationship, how things function. And so we don't need a lot of rules. If you maintain relationship, you don't have to have a lot of rules. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to work this into my parenting somehow. You ever tried to parent somebody from the outside in? Woo, you can't spank them enough, can you? I heard somebody say, I broke about a cord of wood off in him. And I still can't get him to do what I want. I broke a cord of wood off on his behind and he still won't act right. It's really difficult to get kids to operate from outside pressure in. But when you can connect your heart to that child, woo! Oh, that's good parenting there. I don't know how Pop got into it. That's my dad. I know I talk about him a lot. But I'm telling you, man, he gets smarter as I get older. But honestly, it was one of those things where I was not afraid of his whooping. It wasn't that. I don't even think that I got but maybe one, and he don't even remember that one. Yeah? And then this is not about that. It's about this. It's that he had made such a heart connection to me that I didn't want to do something that he didn't want me to do because I loved him so much. And so I evaluated almost everything I did into relationship. You know, wonder what Dad thinks about this. And if Dad thought it was a good idea, then I thought it was a good idea. If Dad didn't think it was a good idea, then it probably wasn't a good idea because Dad just knew stuff. Do you see how that worked? And so there was this heart connection. And so we didn't need a lot of rules. And the thing about grace is this. Grace says you don't need a lot of rules. You just need two. You just love God and you just love other people and you'll get everything else right. Do you hear that? If you ever get confused in life and you can't figure out what to do, just ask, what would love do? Just ask that question. You might want to write that down. I often get confused. I will write down the answer to the question, what would love do? And I guarantee you, you'll get more right on accident than you ever got on purpose any other time. What would love do? In regarding work, what would love do? In regarding your spouse, what would love do? Your children, what would love do? This next situation in life, what would love do? And so it creates this atmosphere where now there are not these rules, but there is love. Did anybody feel a little bit lighter when I started talking that way? Yeah, that's what love does. It removes the burden. And so how then can I have this yoke that Christ talks about, this love and this relationship as father and son? Then I've written out a couple of things, and here's where I want to drill down today. Are you ready? We're drilling down right here. Just want to right here on this ground. All right. One is this. How can I have that yoke? In verse 28, it says, come to me. Do you see that? Look at it again. Listen to my voice. Come to me. It's amazing how many things we'll run to other than Him. And so if you're going to take His yoke upon you, then you've got to come to Him. And I'm telling you, you may not think you have a lot of money, but this is a wealthy country. and we have a lot of money to escape things. Have you ever thought about that? We have a lot of money to escape things. And so when something's bad, what do we want to do? We want to throw some money at it in order to make it go away. And so what will we do? We'll throw some money into some things to dull us down. But you know what happens when you try to escape through another means other than coming to Jesus? As soon as that dullness wears off, guess what happens? Your yoke is back on. You go back and pick up that yoke. We'll try to escape by, I'll do this sometimes, and it's a healthy thing, taking a nap. Any of you ever do that? I think it's one of the most spiritual things you can do. I'm going to just go on and tell you. There are some days the most spiritual thing I can do is just lay my head down for about 15 minutes and just take a nap. Yeah. But do you realize that when you're dealing with weariness and when you're dealing with being heavy laden, when you're dealing with burdens, what happens when you get up from that nap? You're just as tired as you ever were. And you try to sleep and you'll say, you know what, maybe I just need more sleep. Any of y'all been successful at getting more sleep and it going away? Because if so, I'm going to borrow your bed for a little bit. All right? You can't sleep it off, can you? You can't get enough sleep. And so it's, okay, well, maybe I can just get away for a little bit. And so you'll try to find something to occupy your time. But do you see what's happening? We're not coming to Him, which is the key to an easy yoke. We're not coming to Him. And so as soon as we go do that thing that we think will get our attention off of this, guess what? Monday morning comes around. Oh, there it is again. You know? That person comes around. Oh, there they are again. Whatever it is comes around. And so one, in order to receive His easy yoke, you'll have to quit trying to escape and realize there's only one way to get this burden lifted, and that's to come to Him. I said all that to say this. Did you hear that? The only way your burden will get light is if you come to Him. If you go anywhere else, it won't last, and you'll go back and pick up that burden. And then this one amazed me. Never seen it until today. You can't pull two yokes. That's our trouble sometimes. We try to pull two yokes. In fact, that was what was happening to an entire group of people. Let me show you real fast. Go to Galatians. In Galatians, they had received this thing about the grace of God, the unconditional love of God, the forgiveness of God, that Jesus Christ was sufficient, all of those things. And then people came in and they said, you know what though? You still got to obey this, and you still got to do this, and you still got to be circumcised, and you still got to make offerings. And Paul writes and he says to them in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject yourself again to a what? Ooh, a yoke of slavery. Do you hear that? You can only carry one yoke at a time. So what are you going to carry? Are you going to carry the burden at work? If so, you can't carry the yoke of grace of Christ. Or are you going to carry the expectations of the world? If so, you can't carry the easy yoke. You only have the ability to carry one thing. That's why Paul said, don't mix the two. They don't mix. It's one or the other. Choose one. But too many times we're like, I'm going to carry. Okay, I'm going to pray. But what are you doing? You're carrying and praying all at the same time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like, oh God, please. Please, just take it off of me. Just take it off of me. And I believe Christ would be sitting there saying, I will let go. Just, I will. I'll carry it. Just let go. Because one of us is going to carry it. But right now, I can't because you are. And so you gotta let go of what you're carrying. And then as you let go and Christ begins to pull for us, and He begins to work in our lives, and He begins to take care of the situations that are going on in our life, that there comes a place, and I believe this is where we are today, that there are times you have to break the yoke. You have to break the old yoke. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes we're notorious for going back and picking it up, aren't we? And so the danger is that I'll preach this message and you'll lay down that yoke of expectation. You'll lay down the burden that you're carrying, the heaviness of the situation that you're in. You'll lay it down. But if you're not careful, you'll come and you'll pick it back up. And so I think the best way to make sure that we don't pick that yoke back up is we just go on and break it. What you say? Anybody need a burden broken today? A yoke broken off of them today where you can't pick it back up? All right, we'll turn over to Isaiah chapter 10. The funny thing about Ember, I don't know if you know anything about this verse or not. The funny thing about Ember is it's like this melting pot of everything. You know, it's a melting pot of all kind of different people from all kind of different backgrounds. And so I have no idea where you are in this background. But if you come from a charismatic background, I'm not going to interpret the scripture the way that they normally would. And I don't apologize for that. That one might be true. I don't know. But I want to give you the one that I believe is going to help you today. And so listen to this. It is Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. By the way, I would consider myself a charismatic, by the way. If I need a yoke, which I don't need one. Verse 27, so it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because of the fat. Here is what I believe this verse is prophetically saying. It's talking about them being broken off from the Assyrians, but it's a prophetic verse too, which means it carries weight into today. What it's saying is this. I want you to picture yourself as you receive the love of God. In fact, just close your eyes, if you will, for a moment. I want you to just picture this. It's such a good image. You got to get it and take it home with you. Picture yourself as a son and a daughter of God, loved by God. And so just like a child, God is going to bring into your life everything that you need. He's going to walk alongside of you in every situation that you're under. And because you've removed this yoke of expectation, you've taken on this yoke of grace, that the grace of God is beginning to grow your life. That the grace of God is beginning to make you strong. And you picture an ox as he begins to grow. And as he begins to become strong. That's what the grace of God is doing in your life. To the point that yoke that used to hold you before, guess what? It's not big enough anymore. You have literally outgrown it. You have literally become so blessed, so in tune with God, so mature in your relationship with God that you have grown to the point that you break the yoke and it no longer fits your life anymore. What does that mean? That God is going to bring you to the point of maturity in every area of your life so that the things that used to bother you, they literally break under your growth. They literally break under grace. We sing songs about how the chains are broken. Do you see that? Do you see them as they become, they just start breaking off of your life? That's what I believe that God is doing in His body today. Is that the reason that you won't go back and pick it up is because it just won't fit anymore. Those expectations that people have of you, they just don't fit anymore. As Sam was talking about being a good dad. Dad, let's just be honest. We all want to be a good one, don't we? Moms, let's be honest. We all want to be good moms. We all want to be good dads. Sometimes the expectations become so heavy. But imagine us growing to the point that we realize God's got us. God will show us how to parent. We don't have to get everything right in order to do this job. And you begin to grow, and those expectations don't fit anymore. You won't get up under that yoke anymore. Whatever those burdens are, they just don't fit. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want you to just stay right there. Pat and Chris, I want your help, because I want us to just stand and we're going to pray. And I've already asked Chris Bender. We're going to get on the corners of this room right here, okay? And we're just going to pray that right now, whatever that is, that burden, that oppression, that weariness, whatever it might be in your life, that God is literally going to break it off. And not only that, that you will begin to grow to such an extent that it won't even fit back on you anymore. So y'all, pick a corner. I got this one. Apparently Chris has that one. Now y'all, stand up if you will. If I can speak to some of our ministry leaders for just a moment, and for the folks who Ember is home for you. Why is this important? Because people are always trying to make you fit their agendas. You ever notice that? People always want you to be like they want you to be. If you think about Jesus, it would have been very easy when John came to Jesus with all those questions for Jesus to run and say, you know what, let's just break him out of prison. But he would have been out of the schedule of God. And so many times we do what other people want us to do, and we're not fulfilling the agenda that God has for us. So here's what I want to just speak over Ember real quick too. This thing that God is doing here that's about being out into the community, it's a little different. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Okay? And the tendency is that somebody's going to want to put us into a box, or somebody's going to have a great idea that they think we ought to get involved in. You know? I mean, you guys will go and do anything. I told people, I said, I have to be careful what to ask them to do, because they'll go do it. You will. And so there'll be no shortage of opportunities for people like that. And if you're not careful, you'll be everything that everybody wants you to be and not who God made you to be. Is that a good word? Yeah. So we got to stay on schedule. All right? We got to stay on God's schedule so that when all those things come around, we know what we're supposed to do. Now, how is it that a church is going to know what it's supposed to do? Oh, because you know what? The church is not that sign up on top of the building. And it's not this room. We are the church. And so if the church is going to stay on schedule, then it has to be made up of people who know how to stay on schedule, that know how to follow God and not be moved by other people's expectations, by the demands of life. We know what God has called us to do. So that's my prayer in the beginning, is God, let us be a people that we know what we are supposed to do. If we have ever gotten sidetracked by other people's expectations, if there's a moment in the future that's coming where someone might try to make us someone other than what you have desired of us, we'll just know who we are. We'll know what you've called us to. And so I pray that for each individual in the room, that they may have spent an entire life trying to figure out who they are. Today I pray they realize that they are sons and daughters of God, and that they will walk with you, and you will show them who they are. And they cannot be anyone else in the room. And they cannot be anyone else in life. But you will show them how to be the person that they have been made to be. And so right now, I pray that God's purposes are beginning to just settle over you. And I want to just, in Jesus' name, break off burdens. In Jesus' name, if you have been walking through a situation and it seems to have no end, that's that portion of Scripture, heavy laden. that you have been burdened by a situation that seems that it has no end, then Jesus, we look to you. Because somehow you did all that you did and you were looking at the cross and you knew you were going to die. And so, Father, help us to not walk 9 miles on a 10-mile journey. Help us not to become weary and overburdened. Break it off of us in Jesus' name. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And let us look to you for the next step. Weariness. We break weariness off in Jesus' name. Father, right now, grow us as a church. Grow us as a people to where the things that used to burden us, they don't even fit our lives in the next few days, weeks, months, and years ahead of us. They don't even fit us anymore. Those labels, they don't even fit us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go in grace. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.